Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'll give them just a second because they got to hear the whole thing. They got to hear it from start to finish. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have church tonight. Amen. God's going to help us tonight. God's going to speak to some of us tonight. He gave us a revelation that we really, 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 really need. That's right. Amen. We need God to speak to us. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter number 18, verse number 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak. Hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people. Everybody say much.
Much.
I have much people. God said to Paul, I have much people in this city. Paul, you ain't even got a clue how many people I got in this city. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Lord have mercy. I feel like the Holy Ghost wants to tell some of us tonight and call us by name. Hey, listen, Derek Newman, I got much people in this city. You ain't even got a clue what I want to do. Souls Hunter, you ain't even got a clue what I want to do. I got much people in this city. He continued there a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. Listen here, about 2 million people live, or 200 million people live in the world's 12 largest cities. 200 million people in 12 cities. More than 90% of North Americans live in cities. More than 70% of South Americans live in cities. More than 70% of Europeans live in cities. For the first time in all of history, the world is more urban than rural. Over half of the people in the world presently live in cities. It's 57% right now. There's more people that live in cities than in rural areas. By the year of 2050, which is just a few short years away in all reality, there will be 6.4 billion people living in cities. That's almost double to the current rate that's in them now. It's about 3.6 billion that live in cities. Can you imagine that it will double in just a little more than 30 years? Double. There will be more people living in cities than anywhere else in the world. Amen. The urban population in Africa will double in just 17 more years. It will grow at the pace of 742 million. The population is growing at an alarming speed into the city. They cannot keep up with the infrastructure. They cannot keep up with all that is going on in the cities. More than 50% of Africans will live in cities in the next 15 years. When you think, wow, that's out in the bush and this is the jungle and so on and so forth, those continents, those countries, those places are moving inward into a city. The Apostle Paul, his evangelistic outreach and strategy, he selected cities along major trade routes. This was likely done to expedite the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not only does population and education and finance abound in cities, but sin and wickedness also flourishes. I'm reminded of a song. I believe it's Chris Tomlin and Blue Tree. I don't know which one. I know they both sing a song, but I think it was Blue Tree that was talking about when they were in a concert in Thailand. They were singing this song. God of this city, you're the God of this city. You're the King king of these people, the lord of this nation. And what they realized, that it was like 90% of the children that were 13 and under, I think it was 90%, maybe it wasn't that high. It was a huge, massive percentage that was being sold into sex trades and as sex slaves on the market. That people from around the world go to visit Thailand so they can have sex with children. But let me tell you something today. God is still the God of that city. He's still the king of those people. He's still the Lord of that nation. God is, as the song goes on, you're the light in this darkness. You're the hope for the hopeless. You're the peace for the restless. You all know the song. You've heard it before, but I never heard it on this wise. When I really stopped to think about the words, there is no God like our God. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. And if a nominal Christian can say those things, my God, why can't I sing it with more power and authority and anointing? There's nobody like my God. There's nobody. For greater things have yet to come. For greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. In this city. In my city. Greater things have yet to be done. And so when we go into the Word of God and we look at some cities, one city that I'm reminded of and I'd like to preach about for a few moments is that of Jericho. In Joshua chapter number 6, verse number 14, the second day they come past the city once and returned to the camp, and they did 6 times. And it came to pass on the 7th day, they rose early about the dawning of the day and come past the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they come past the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Oh, hallelujah. For the Lord hath given you the city. Strange, crazy, unusual instructions were given on this day about this type of issue that was set before them. They were told to walk about the city. We know when they were told to blow trumpets and break pitchers and shout and blah, 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 blah. So unorthodox, so unordinary. But nevertheless, Joshua had said unto the people, the Lord hath given you this city. Amen. Wow. Did you really get what that was just saying? The Lord hath given you the city. They hadn't marched, or they had marched around that day, but really they hadn't seen any victory. But those words, I've already given it. Just like I said today when we dismissed, the Lord Jesus Christ has given you the victory. You don't have to fight for it. It's already given to you. He already paid the price. He already fought the battle. He already went and conquered death, hell, and the grave. He's already given it. If you just obey me, the city is yours. The city is yours. Jericho's wickedness flourished. Their idolatry, their burning of children and sacrifices unto the Canaanite god was widespread. Prostitution was forcing God's hand against them. Amen. Jericho was considered to be an invincible city. And they thought that there was nobody and nothing that could touch them because of their protective walls, because of their god in which they served. But that city that had walls 25 feet tall and more than 20 feet wide could not stop the Almighty God. As soldiers would walk around the tops, they could see for miles around. Jericho was an icon military power. It was considered indestructible. Attacking and defeating Jericho would send fear throughout all the land of Canaan. The Canaanites heard that of of the God of the Israelites. Did you hear what I just said? They had heard of the God of the Israelites, not the Canaanites, of the Israelites. They had heard that he was a God of nature, for they heard the story of the Red Sea parting and 3 million walking across on a dry ground and the enemy being destroyed by the same waters. They had already heard the stories of them walking across Jordan as they did several years back at the Red Sea. So they knew that the God of the Israelites was something to behold. They could only hope that he would not be a God that could tear down their wall. But sure enough, and unfortunate for them, God proved superior to all other gods, because there is no God like unto our God. I said there is no God like unto our God. Let me say this tonight, that the city was taken because of their obedience. Something we might even call a reckless faith in God's power. Oh, I wish, I pray, I hope, I'm anticipating someday in the very near future that some of us will get some reckless faith, that we'll just be so obedient to God. Amen. No matter how crazy the request from God might be, we'll just do it, faith believing, and watch God perform a miracle. The walls of Jericho fell. Amen. And this story is an encouragement to God's people to trust in him, to believe in his promises, and to obey his instructions. No matter how impossible the situation might seem. Amen. I mentioned Jericho here not because it was not reached with God's mercy and compassion, but to show us that nothing in a city can stop a move of the Almighty God. The God that I serve, the God of this city, he is a conqueror. There is no wall, amen, of gambling. There is no wall of prostitution. There are no walls of alcohol and drug addiction that my God cannot conquer. Of God that he's given me this city, and that's you and me. I'm telling you tonight, I believe that you are here for a purpose and for a reason. Else God would have you somewhere else. But this is your city. I said this is your city. It's God's given it to you. That is all we got to do is obey. It's already been given. It's already been given. I got much people. I got much people in Reno and Sparks. I got much people in Northern Nevada.
Sorry, brother, sister, Emmett. You can go ahead and shout a while with us, but I understand that, you know, whatever.
That this is for us. Glad you're here, though.
That's okay. You got kids around this area.
You got kids around here. That's right. We'll get them too. Amen. And so, this city, amen, we serve the God of this city. There are other little g gods. Prostitution is rampant here. We know that. Amen. But it ain't no big deal. I said it ain't no big deal. I said it ain't no big deal. The drugs and the alcohol abuse, it ain't no big deal to God. It ain't a wall that's too big for him to let fall flat. Come on now, gambling ain't a wall that's too big that God can't deliver you from a gambling addiction. God can take that gambling addiction right out of your heart and quit. city, the city of Nineveh. This is fascinating. Nineveh, totally different deal here. Jonah chapter number 1, verse number 2. He speaks to Jonah and he says, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Nineveh is described as that great city. It was considered to be one of the most important cities in the Assyrian Empire at that particular time. It was a rising power. Within 50 years, it would become the capital. Today, we would have called it Las Vegas. Sin City. Everybody says something about, oh, well, I couldn't live there in Reno because of all the sin and stuff like that. It's just lost like Las Vegas. I don't see it like Las Vegas at all. I've been to both places and I don't see it like that. But nevertheless, there's problems everywhere. I won't get to that just a minute. Don't let me get ahead of myself there. Amen. God had enough and it was about to be destroyed. It was on a collision course, amen, with God's wrath and his destruction. This small book tells us a lot about God's character and who he really is. Jonah's message was a coming judgment that brought about change, that brought about a reformation, that brought about a transformation, and it was an immediate and genuine repentance. Nineveh's king seemed to know more about the mercy and the compassion of God than Jonah did. For the king even said in Jonah chapter number 3 and verse number 9, who can tell if God, he recognized God as the God, it's capitalized, God, if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not. Oh, my. Hear this, even king had enough confidence, had enough about him to say, hey, we may as well fall on our face and go ahead and repent, because God just may say, Noah, I'll spare the city. God just may say, Noah, I won't destroy you. So let's do this, folks. We're going to fast and we're going to pray. We're going to make the animals fast, the babies fast. Everybody's going to get a hold of God, because maybe God won't let us perish. So as Jonah focuses on wrath, as he focuses on judgment, as he focuses on condemnation and condemning the sin of those of the city, Jonah's faith or his lack of faith for the city, when Jonah looked at Nineveh, undoubtedly he saw the wickedness. He saw that the city deserved God's punishment. But when God saw Nineveh, he saw much more than that. He saw people groping in the darkness. He saw them ignorant of their ways and in need of salvation. So he called a preacher to preach to that city. Oh, God's wonderful plan, his wonderful plan to call a preacher to a city for people that are ignorant of their way, in order for them to hear and understand the word of God. Heard over the years, time and time again, where preachers have said, oh, this is a hard place to build a church.
I'm so sick of that.
First off, every place is hard to build a church. Every place is going to have its fight and have its... I don't care if it's rural, if it's in the middle of the inner city. I don't care what kind of sin. I don't care what kind of spirit. It just doesn't matter. When truth goes to a city, there's going to be opposition. So deal with it. Get the truck and drive. Amen. But God is a conqueror, and those walls, whatever they may be, of whatever that geographical location is, God is a God that conquers any and every wall. It ain't nothing for him. And secondly, if you keep on speaking faithlessness, gloom and doom, nobody wants to come to church.
I'll tell you, if anybody says that again in this church, I'm going to knock your head off.
All right.
Don't say that anymore.
Amen.
Don't say that anymore. Don't say that anymore. Don't say nobody wants to come.
It's not true.
They're all wanting to come. They just don't know it.
That's right.
I said they're all wanting to come. They just don't know it. I'll tell you what's happening is they're waiting on the church to get some faith in God like the faith was of the book of Acts church. That's what they're waiting on. They're waiting on some book of Acts people to get the Holy Ghost and get faith like they had in the book of Acts to where they turned their city up. That's what they're waiting on. He said, why ain't we coming? What? They're waiting on you. They're waiting on us. Nobody wants to live for God. Quit saying that. I don't care who's walking away. Quit saying, when you say nobody wants to live for God, you're telling me I don't. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. I am somebody. I am God's child. She is and she is and he is. Don't say nobody wants to live for God. And people all over this earth, I have much people. Nobody wants to live for God. Just because that one or that one or this one doesn't want to, doesn't mean nobody does. You keep on talking like that and you'll get nobody. That's exactly what you'll have. You'll have a bunch of nobodies that come to church. Huh? Come on now. I read this. It said when God cancels an appointment. When God cancels an appointment. He had an appointment with Nineveh of wrath, destruction, judgment. And I got excited when I read this. It said this. This is one little deal. It said God didn't see a city worthy of destruction. What he saw was individuals that were worthy of saving. He saw individuals that were worth dying for. He saw individuals that were worth saving. He saw people that were worth salvation. I'm telling you, that's the kind of vision we need to see. Instead of seeing sin everywhere and seeing all the things everywhere, we need to touch a soul that wants salvation. I know they're shooting up. I know they got this and I know they got that. But I know that they need salvation. Again on the sin. We can capitalize on the filth, the idolatry, all of those things. And God to God's in the preacher.
Hallelujah.
When you got the Holy Ghost, he said, you shall be witnesses unto me. You're going to do it. You're going to do it. Oh God, let us catch this vision. Let us catch this vision. One of the key points of the book of Jonah is to show us how God thinks about our city. Jonah even expressed God's heart. This is what's amazing. In Jonah chapter 4 in verse number 2, he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? I was in my comfort zone. I was minding my own business. And you told me to go to Nineveh. Therefore, I fled before unto Tarshish. I knew, get this, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, and slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil.
Oh, boy.
He's mad. He's mad at God because... God, you said you're destroyed, and I told you, I had this conversation before you got me out of my comfort zone, before you made me do something that I didn't want to do. I knew you were going to repent. I knew you were going to be kind. I knew you were going to be gracious. I knew you were going to be merciful. Look at it now. You know what the problem was? It's crazy. You know what the problem was? Jonah was like, wait a second. God knew that he loved those people. God
God knew, Jonah knew that God loved those people. And then he said, then right after that, Jonah says, you know what? Just kill me. Just kill me. I there's no reason to even live. Are you serious? Are you serious? You know what the problem was? He was thinking, people are going to think I'm a false prophet.
Yeah.
People are going to think I'm crazy. If you don't kill them all, God, they're going to think I'm crazy. You know what? That's what happened to Apostolic Pentecostals all over the country. They don't want to preach anymore. They don't want to say anything anymore. They don't want to say anything like this because, somebody will call me a false prophet. So don't say anything. Just keep your mouth shut, you moron. God said, go preach to them. Why did he send you? He sent you to preach to peradventure they may repent. There's nothing wrong with that, is there? Why in the world would you want them to die? Why in the world would you want them to be lost? Jonah, you're a knucklehead. If you only knew how many times... Amen. There's preachers that continually wrestle with this over and over. I'm not going to say that because if it doesn't come to pass, somebody's going to call me a false prophet. Peradventure, somebody's going to repent.
Yes.
So just because preacher tonight, there's somebody that if you don't find a place of repentance, you're on a one-way street to destruction. You're going to be lost for an eternity.
Right.
And everybody's waiting for somebody to go to hell.
Wow.
And nobody goes, so he must be lying. Did you ever think they might have repented? Did you ever think they might have said, oh God, God, you got my number. You know right where I'm at. You know I haven't been doing right, living right, thinking right. I found a place to repent. I know God, I'm going to help me up. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be lost. Do you ever think that somebody could repent? Do you ever think that somebody could say, God, no, don't destroy me. Yeah, he had forgotten the words of his own song in the belly of that great fish. Salvation comes from the Lord. You was in the belly of the great fish there, dude. Don't forget. Don't forget where God brought you from, buddy. You were rebellious. You were disobedient. And God had mercy on you and puked you out on the shore when you should have been dead and been well pooped.
Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Floating in the bottom of the ocean. That's what should have happened to you, buddy. But you cried out to the Lord, and he saved you, and he heard you. Come on, somebody. Don't be looking at everybody as being lost. Look at them as being saved. Look at them as being repented. Look at them as having salvation. Look at them that way. Oh, man, we can get so short-fused, and myself included, and say, I'm done. I'm just sick of it. Well, sometimes we do need to get sick of it, because sometimes we act like God. Oh, well, I need some money. You know what? I don't see Jesus ever giving anybody any money, except when it was time to pay taxes, and he put the coin out of that fish's mouth and said, here, go pay the taxes.
That's right.
He didn't give no money. And that's why his disciples, when they went to the house and they saw that beggar, they said, silver and gold have I none. I don't know why the church has all of a sudden got the bank mentality or the place to supply.
Right.
I'm not saying we're not going to help, we're not going to do certain things, but I'm going to tell you the greatest gift that you can give to anybody is tell them about the salvation of the Lord. And tell them, hey, you don't have to live like this. God can help you. If you obey God and you do what's right, God will bless you. God can multiply you. God can turn your situation. No houses, he can give you a house, can he? He can get that way where there isn't no way. He said, no, you just do what's right. You just live for me. I can give you a better job. I can give you a raise. I can give you a house. I text my wife the other day. lands. He has no problem with money. This little great book of evangelism, and you can join us.